Okay, I think we'll make a start. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. There we go. It's only day two. Come on, we can do this. We can do this. We can get through it together. So, thank you for coming along this afternoon. I know it's lunchtime, everyone's probably hungry, but I'm standing between you and lunch. So we'll try and get through this in good time. But my name's Matt McSpirit. I'm one of our technical product managers at Microsoft, based in the US. And this session is really about helping you understand how we compare and contrast what Microsoft offers in the private cloud space and what VMware offers with their vCloud. So what we're going to do in this session is compare some of the technologies side by side and hopefully understand some of the strengths that Microsoft has in its portfolio to help you deploy private cloud in your environment. If you're not interested in deploying private cloud, this session will still give you a lot of useful info on some of the key system center technologies you can use to deploy VMs more effectively, to monitor the infrastructure, and so on. So we'll look at all of that comparison, and we'll focus on some of the costs as well, and compare them towards the end of the session, which I think you'll find pretty interesting. This is part two of a two-part series, where yesterday we looked at comparing Hyper-V and vSphere. And if you didn't join me yesterday, you can download that, you can download the slides, you can watch the video on demand as well. It will be all available online. But this session is very much about that higher level of management. So we've got that hypervisor, either vSphere or the Hyper-V hypervisor laid down. And now how can we start to better manage? How can we start to deploy applications more effectively? How can we be a bit more clever about how we manage that whole infrastructure on the whole? So what I'm going to focus on is a number of these different technologies. And the private cloud solution from both Microsoft and VMware is packed with different components, different products, if you will. So if we look at some of these apples to apples, so as close a comparison as I can provide, we'll see that at the base layer, where we compared yesterday, Hyper-V on the Microsoft side, the vSphere hypervisor on the VMware side. We're not going to do any more comparison of those two today because we covered that all yesterday. But then we start to introduce more comprehensive management on top. And to manage those VMs, we obviously on the Microsoft side use Virtual Machine Manager. And on the VMware side, we're using vCenter, as many of you I'm sure will within your environment. The difference being on the Microsoft side is that VMM, the name is almost misleading now. Virtual Machine Manager suggests it's all really about managing virtual machines. But as we'll see shortly, it goes well beyond just managing individual VMs or collections of VMs. As we start to think about services and clouds and how easy it is to start to build and provision those quickly using VMM, that's a very different approach to how vCenter applies itself within the VMware environment. Also, Virtual Machine Manager is taking on more of a fabric management role, both in 2012 SP1 and the upcoming 2012 R2 release. So you'll see it managing storage and networking as well as just the virtual machines. So while we call it VMM, it does a lot more than just manage the virtual machines. But once we go beyond just managing VMs, what else do we have to think about when we think about private cloud in general? We think about self-service. We don't want to give everyone in our organization who needs VMs access to our core virtual machine management tool, vCenter or VMM. That's quite dangerous, and we could rapidly run out of capacity if we give all of these different users access to our powerful management tools. So we need to delegate appropriately. And with delegation, yes, we could delegate access to VMM and vCenter quite granularly, although it's more effective to provide a simplified self-service portal to those kind of users who aren't as experienced with virtual machines. And for that, Microsoft provides a component of System Center called App Controller, which we'll take a look at and how that provides access to users to their virtual infrastructure. On the VMware side, however, vCloud Director is a very granular, in some ways a little bit confusing, self-service portal. It's quite complex. And compare that with App Controller, which very much aims at simplicity, trying to provide that simple self-service interface. So they compare and contrast in the sense that they are both self-service portals, but one is very granular, that vCloud Director, whereas App Controller intentionally is that little bit more simple and aimed at that application consumer, as we'll see later on in a demo. But then we think about how we start to monitor that infrastructure from the metal that's running our hypervisors right down to the applications that are running inside the virtual machines. Because that's important. At the end of the day, when your internal users are coming to you to request VMs, are they just wanting a VM with nothing in it? Or are they looking to get a VM with an OS and an application inside? That's more likely. When you think about what you're virtualizing, Exchange, SQL Server, SharePoint, Oracle, whatever it may be, not only do we want visibility and insight into the VM, but we also want to understand what's going on inside that virtual machine to ensure that we're delivering great performance to the business. And on the Microsoft side, Ops Manager's really given us that capability. It's a mature, it's well-established, a component of System Center that's been around for a very, very long time. If we'd have been stood here 2 years ago doing this presentation, we would have found that VMware didn't really have a strong solution to talk about in the monitoring space. vCenter provides some good visibility into the VM as a black box, but it didn't really look inside and tell me anything about my Exchange that may be virtualized, or my SQL or SharePoint. But now, through a mix of acquisitions and also some in-house technologies, the vCenter Operations Management Suite provides VMware customers a lot of visibility into their vSphere infrastructure. But there's a key there, their vSphere infrastructure. Ops Manager stretches well beyond just the virtualized stuff. It reaches out to physical servers. It reaches out to storage and networking components. So that's slightly different from what the vCenter Ops Management Suite provides for vSphere admins. But we'll start to look at that in a bit more detail as we go along. And then we think about protecting some of this stuff. If you're a service provider and you're providing services to customers, you want to ensure that their stuff is protected, whether that's through backup or whether that's through VM replication and site failover components. Well, on the Microsoft side, when we think purely about backup, we think about DPM. Part of that core System Center suite, and it provides that backup of not only the VMs, but also what's inside the VMs, the workloads. Now with vSphere, vSphere has gone through a number of backup options over the years, from the consolidated backup that was part of the early editions of vSphere and VI, now to providing technology that's based on EMC Avamar to actually allow customers to back up the VMs effectively and, more recently, back up workloads inside those VMs with the vSphere data protection. So it now offers, in the advanced edition, the ability to protect Exchange and SQL servers inside your VMs. So again, VMware pushing forward and providing more granular workload protection. So very similar to the Microsoft strategy, both going forward. And then we think, well, okay, we've got self-service, we've got monitoring, and we've got protection. What if I, instead of just providing clouds to my users and having them access it at will, what if I want to actually start to put some change management in place? What if I want to allow these users to request infrastructure, and I can approve and then allow them to access it appropriately? And to do that on the Microsoft side, a component of System Center called Service Manager would deliver that. And Service Manager is an ITIL-aligned service management solution that can provide some significant value for private cloud, but also, in addition, it can be used for ticketing, for I've broken printer or my laptop's failed or whatever it may be. So it's not just a solution for private cloud, but it's broader than that in the sense of the whole infrastructure. But on the VMware side, up until recently, VMware didn't really have a strong solution for service management, true service management. But with the acquisition of Dynamic Ops, VMware now have a much stronger solution for giving users the ability to request cloud infrastructure and then access it through another self-service portal. So there is a decision to be made in a VMware environment. Do I access my environment through VCAC or do I go through vCloud Director? So there's decisions to make there in terms of how your environment is configured and constructed. But not all of these components work together just yet. So there's also extra considerations there. One thing to note, this VCAC product isn't a CMDB-aligned technology. So it's not a true ITIL service management product. Service Manager does give you that CMDB as part of that. So it aggregates all of the information around your environment and provides that CMDB functionality. And then finally, we think about automation. Because if you're going to do a lot of this stuff manually, that's going to take a lot of time. So automation is very, very important. So if you're thinking about, on the Microsoft side, with System Center Orchestrator, part of that core product, part of that System Center product, it was an acquisition of Apalis, that Microsoft made 18, 24 months ago, maybe slightly longer now. And it gives Microsoft a very, very strong automation engine to connect all of these Microsoft technologies that we've got here in System Center, but also connect some of the non-Microsoft technologies, other service desk solutions, other monitoring tools, other hypervisors. So we can now automate across a very heterogeneous environment, which is important if you're building clouds using existing investments. And on the VMware side, vCenter Orchestrator is part of vSphere, so you get that as part of your license. But the alternative automation engine is in vCAC. So again, you make a decision about which automation engine you want to use. If you've heavily invested in Orchestrator, I can't just take those runbooks and run them in vCAC. I can call the runbooks from vCAC, but I can't transfer them into vCAC. So things to be aware of there. But that's how things would align if you put them on paper, apples to apples, as close as possible. Again, there are subtle differences between each of them. So vCloud Director and App Controller, there are subtle differences in the way they work and the visibility they give to users, VMM and vCenter and so on. But either way, that's how it would look apples to apples. But how do I acquire this technology? How do I get hold of it and run it in my environment? Well, we said that the hypervisor layer, I could acquire Hyper-V for free. The Hyper-V server is available to download. But with the vSphere hypervisor, you would typically buy that as part of a broader vSphere purchase. However, there's a better way on both sides to acquire all of the other technology. On the Microsoft side, System Center as a product gives me all of those components together. So I buy System Center and I get everything. I can no longer choose to buy just Ops Manager or just VMM. I have to purchase System Center and all of the components come with it. On the VMware side, I can still go ahead and buy these individual components. So I could still go out and buy vCloud Director. I could still go out and buy vCAC or some of the other components. However, if I do buy them individually, I pay per VM, which in a private cloud, as you're scaling, could get very expensive. The vCloud suite, on the other hand, is licensed per CPU, just like System Center, which means as you grow your environment, you're not paying extra for every VM. So that's something that's important, and it was a good decision. I think it was an important decision that VMware made to that approach. It's not necessarily cheap, as we'll see later on, but it's the right way to license all of that technology for clouds that are scaling up. So hopefully that gives us a level playing field to compare and contrast some of these technologies. Because what I want to focus on is a number of areas that I think are very, very important for private cloud environments. And these are not all of the examples. These are not all of the key areas that are important, but they're just some of the things that I would be thinking about if I was going forward with cloud. So how do I deploy applications faster? How do I deploy them more efficiently in a standardized way? And how does that compare across Hyper-V and a Microsoft environment and a VMware environment? How do I get insight into what I'm running in my infrastructure, both at the hardware and the hypervisor and VM level, but deeper inside? What visibility can tools like System Center give me versus some of the VMware tools? When we think about protection, how does that stack up on the Microsoft and the VMware side? Can I protect my key workloads on both? And what if I have got a heterogeneous environment? What if I want to run Hyper-V and vSphere side by side and maybe some Zen server? What if I'm using Linux and Windows simultaneously in my environment? How do I manage, monitor, and run that effectively? What about different application stacks? What about different public clouds like Amazon and Azure and some of the other clouds that exist out there? How do I manage all of that in one central place? Well, that's, again, what we're going to compare as we get through the presentation. And then what if I do want to deploy a hybrid infrastructure? What does it look like for me to deploy on a vSphere side of things, to connect with service providers or public cloud services? And what does that look like on a Microsoft side? So that's what we're going to focus on for the presentation. And we'll obviously have a little look at the costs as well, because that's going to be important. None of this is free. You know, some of this is going to cost significant amounts of investment on your side if you want to implement some of these technologies. A little bit less on the Microsoft side, I'll add, but there's still significant investment, and we'll see that towards the end. So the first kind of area that I really want to focus in on is around this application and service deployment. Because essentially, if you're the VM admin in your environment, if you're using vSphere every day or you're using some of the Hyper-V tools every day, you're deploying VMs not for the sake of just deploying because it's great fun and everyone enjoys it. You're deploying them to provide a service to the business. Maybe somebody needs a new email server or a new collaboration environment. So you're deploying apps and services as quickly as you can to meet that demand. And I want to show you just in VMM and a couple of the other components how we achieve that more effectively, in my mind, than vSphere. So if we have a look at my specific environment here, I'm in VMM. This is VMM 2012 SP1. So this is shipping today. This isn't R2. And what I want to talk about is how I can effectively speed up and accelerate how I deploy my virtual machines in my infrastructure. Now, everybody has heard of templates, I'm sure. Templates are stored in VMM's library, and these help me accelerate in a standardized way deployment of new VMs. But why are templates so different on VMM than vSphere and in vCenter? Well, if I drill into one of my particular templates, in this case, I'll look at the website, web server template. The usual stuff exists. So hardware config. What does this VM look like? What does this VM consist of? How many virtual procs? How much RAM? And this is, remember, a template. So every VM I deploy from this is going to look pretty much the same. But first important point, and something that's different from a vSphere environment, is in this template, I have a sysprepped virtual disk. So VMM handles that sysprepping of this particular image for me when it's creating the template. But what's significant is that particular virtual disk that's sysprepped, it's a Windows Server 2012 image, can be shared by lots and lots of different templates. So I can maintain one disk and attach lots of different templates to it, rather than having lots of different templates, each with a virtual disk that probably contains the same operating system. And that's very different from the VMware and the Microsoft approaches. So we have that centralized disk for an OS, in this example, 2012, and lots of templates can point off it. And how we start to construct these templates is you'll see when we drill down into some of these different options, I've got a Save As button at the top. So that allows me to save this specific hardware config as what's known as a hardware profile. So I can build up templates of these different layers: hardware profile, operating system profile, application profile, and I can combine them to create very different templates. So the point I'm trying to get across here is the granularity we can provide over vSphere is very, very significant in VMM to allow you to customize your template deployments very, very nicely. If I come out of there and this particular hardware profile and I go back to my general web server template, why is this a web server template? Why is it not just a generic Windows server template? And the reason it's a web server template is because in the OS config, I can go in and I can tune the different pieces of information here: admin password, identity, product key. But I can also turn on certain roles and features that reflect the type of template that I'm trying to deploy. So I could turn on IIS, the relevant .NET capabilities. So when VMM is deploying these VMs from this template, all of these roles and features that I've ticked here are already enabled, which means if my dev team or my test team are looking to continually deploy new web servers or new application servers or new SQL servers or whatever, I can quickly deploy them in a standardized template manner rather than having to use scripts and manual configuration perhaps after I've deployed the template. Now we see the roles and features, we see domain join. I can still use my answer file if I'm using sysprep files, but here's the important point as we go forward. That was all about the OS. Now we'll start to think about the application layer. And this is again where VMM and the Microsoft solution starts to pull away a little bit from the vSphere infrastructure. If we look at this application profile, I'm going to create a new one, and I've got the opportunity as part of this template to attach certain application configurations. So I could turn this template from being just a standard web server into a web server with a pre-configured website by attaching an MS Deploy package to this template. Alternatively, if this was going to be a database virtual machine or a database template, I could attach a SQL DAC configuration, and in addition, I could attach a specific SQL Server configuration, which allows me to not only configure the SQL database that's going to be inside this virtual machine, but I can specify the relevant service accounts and the rest of the configuration and a part of SQL Server. So I can then quickly deploy new databases for my devs or my admins or whatever as part of a template deployment, rather than having to go and deploy a standard VM and then install SQL and then configure it. I can do all of this from VMM. So it gives me that granularity and that ability to do that. If I go back to my app config, we noticed that there was a web application, so an MS deploy package to accelerate web server deployment. But what are these others? What the SQL DAC package will effectively allow me to configure SQL, a specific configuration. But what's this virtual application? Well, many of you may be aware of application virtualization technologies in the desktop world, like AppV for streaming applications to your desktop or your laptop, or ThinApp in a VMware world. Those kind of technologies are useful for desktop environments because they lift the application off the OS. It runs locally, so it's using the local performance, but it's not installed, so it's nice and clean. Same kind of thing here, but for server applications. So you can package line of business applications or your core applications you have in your environment, and you can attach them as part of the application config to the template and deploy them. And remember, they're not installed, so they're nice and clean, and it makes imaging and upgrading the operating systems that little bit easier. So something to be aware of there. We can add those to the package. So all of those different components come together to form a template. And as I said, I can make many, many templates, and these templates can all point at the same initial virtual disk. So my space consumption is low. Now, that's a VM template. Easy stuff, but very, very granular in comparison with what vSphere provides. But then we want to start to think about how we can deploy services, not just applications, individual apps in a single VM, but services that connect multiple VMs together. Think about SharePoint. When you deploy SharePoint, you don't tend to deploy it in a single VM or a single operating system. It might be stretched across multiple VMs, database tier, web tier, application tier. So we want to model those kind of environments in VMM. So if I bring up our service templates that we have in VMM, and I, for instance, go to create service template, this opens up a designer that I can start to model and build multi-tiered applications. So I'll call this one TechEd. Oh, and I'll call this one, I'll release 1.0. I don't know why my typing isn't working there. We'll go OK. And what it's providing me now is a constructed model that I can start to drag my existing regular templates onto. So that's going to be the web tier, that can be the data tier, this one can be the application tier. And if they had applications within those individual templates, like SQL server configurations or virtual applications, they would list here as well. And within a few minutes, I can build up this particular configuration. And we can see if we look at some of the information around this particular web server tier, you'll see that I've got options to say, OK, this machine tier can be scaled out, for instance. So you might have a web front end as part of this configuration that actually starts with one VM powering that web front end. But if traffic starts to get really high, you might say, well, I'm going to scale this out. And VMM will scale out with an additional VM for that web tier. And you can keep scaling out according to these numbers in here. And that availability set option that's just listed at the bottom here, that allows me to say, OK, if you've got virtual machines as part of the same tier, so two web servers as part of the web tier, you might want to keep them on separate hosts. So that create the availability set would do that. So these are just some of the examples and some of the options we have to go beyond just delivering regular virtual machines. We go beyond and we start to deploy applications and services in a very, very granular way. And we deploy them not necessarily just to hosts like you would in a regular vSphere world, but we can deploy them to clouds. And you'll see I've got a number of clouds already built. Now, if only it was as easy as just clicking a Create Cloud button to create our private cloud. Well, there's the button. We click Create Cloud, we give it a name, although my keyboard seems to just have stopped functioning, which is great. We give it a name, we go through the wizard, we specify some resources, which if I look in the properties of an existing cloud, seeing as my keyboard has decided to fail, we'll look at the properties of an existing one. You'll see I can assign resources, so memory, storage, so physical infrastructure to power this cloud. I can define load balancers in VMM. So when I'm deploying my services, if they need a load balancer, I can integrate them with my services that I'm deploying. And if we look at capacity, this is where I slice my infrastructure for my different users, my different business units within my environment. Think about your infrastructure, your shared fabric you have, and you think, I would like to dedicate a certain portion of that to my devs. And if that's the case, you could create a dev cloud. You could assign them a certain amount of capacity. So you'll see here, virtual procs, memory, storage, virtual machine number. So I've said that is your maximum dev team. That's what you can use. And you can provide the dev team or the testers or whoever it may be with access to this particular cloud through App Controller. Remember we said it's that self-service experience that's intentionally simplified for the users who perhaps aren't as virtual machine aware as you and I. They may not work with virtual machines every day. They just need to be able to access their environment. So, excuse me. So when a low privileged user logs in through this portal, all they see is what you've assigned to them. In this case, the engineering cloud. You can see what they've used so far, what their capacity is, so they know their limits. You'll see they've also been given a connection, and we'll touch on this a bit later, to an Azure subscription. So not only is this particular user privileged enough to deploy into their private cloud on your infrastructure, but they've also been given access to a public cloud subscription that they could deploy apps and services into. And if we look at some of the services that this particular user has got deployed already, they've got one service deployed into the environment on private cloud, and they've got some services running in Azure as well. And if I click on this particular service and open the diagram view, we can see that what the service is made up of, there's one virtual machine powering this particular service, and, in fact, if I show you the other one that I've got running, just to give you an example, I've got the opportunity as that end user to actually scale that out. So if I want to deploy an additional tier, I've got that option. So all of this is contained within Virtual Machine Manager on-prem, and it's exposed in a simple interface through App Controller. And those templates that we created in VMM, they're presented to me through App Controller, depending on who I am. So if I go to deploy, I've only got the choice of deploying into my cloud that I've been given access to. In this case, I'll choose Engineering Cloud. I can see what I've got available. And once I've chosen my cloud, I choose my template. So as an end user, I can't just create VMs of whatever size and shape that I need. So we're giving you simple access to the templates that I've been exposed to, so I can choose, you know what, I'm going to deploy a new web server. I've not got enough space to deploy this one, actually, so I'm not going to be able to continue. If I choose one of these, again, I've not enough space, so maybe I need to contact my admin and help and ask him to increase the size of my cloud. But I would choose one of those options, and I would quickly go through a very simple wizard. I can deploy this one. I've just got enough space. And I can configure a few of the settings. Give it a name. Give it choose some of the core settings, an admin password, for instance. Name and description. NICs are all. I can choose which network I'm going to connect to, and so on. So I've got some very basic, intentionally, options that I'm presented through App Controller for that low-privileged user. So hopefully that gives you an idea of excuse me. Let me go back to my demo. My slides. Hopefully that gives you an idea of how VMM is approaching delivering not just VMs, because anybody can do that, through PowerShell, through vCenter, through VMM, through Hyper-V Manager. It's moving on from VMs and delivering services to the business. Because if you've got engineers or you've got devs or testers or whoever that need repeatable environments to access, that kind of approach and those kind of services and templates are going to help you do that much more quickly. But what I just showed you there is still a pretty free-reign environment. What I mean by that is, as a VMM admin, I created the cloud, I told my dev via email, you can access it here, there's the link for App Controller, and he just went out and started deploying virtual machines and services. That's great. But what if I want to start to control and have that person ask for stuff? You need to ask me if you want a cloud. You need to ask me if you want a virtual machine, rather than just doing it yourself. If you want to introduce that kind of approval process, In the Microsoft world, Service Manager will give us that. And Service Manager is not just about the private cloud, but it is an IT service management solution that's providing incident management, problem management, change, release management, and allows us as private cloud admins to take advantage, provide users with a rich self-service portal where when they log in, they get the exact services that are specific to them, so they may not see all of these different options. They may only see the private cloud-related options down here, request some cloud services. And when they click the cloud services, they're presented with a menu of choices. Would you like a virtual machine? Would you like a cloud? Would you like to extend the cloud or scale out an existing service? So then you're putting that IT service management around some of those tasks. And the beauty of Service Manager is the integration. So I can very quickly plug it in to AD, Config Manager, Ops Manager, some of the other system center tools, and build that CMDB incredibly quickly. So literally, as soon as you start to connect these Service Manager to some of the other components like VMM, Service Manager now knows about your templates, your service templates, your services you've deployed, and can start to provide chargeback and other services around that. And like I say, that chargeback, that ability to put price around some of your virtual machines that you're deploying is part of Service Manager. So if I quickly go back to my demo environment and I look at Service Manager, you'll see in the reporting, I've got this chargeback capability, which I've opened in the world's most powerful BI tool, which is Excel. And you'll see that I've got my clouds that we saw, engineering cloud, finance cloud, some of the other clouds that we've got, and we've got costs associated with them. So a very simple approach, if I go into back to Service Manager and I go to my administration and I go to my infrastructure, price sheets, and I bring up my price sheet that I've defined, my Contoso price sheet. This price sheet effectively allows me to put costs associated with clouds, with services, with different VMs, and it's very, very simple. Is it as granular as what VMware would offer in their vCenter chargeback as part of that vCloud suite? No, doesn't offer as much granularity, as much configuration option. But for simplicity, this is pretty easy to start to build up a cost model associated with virtual machines and services if you want to go down that route. So you'll see the end result. I've got an interesting spreadsheet. I can pivot on different options, and I can start to report on that and render that in Excel or SharePoint, whatever it may be. So Service Manager gives us that power. But how can I get going with this quickly? Because I need to be able to deliver an IT as a service as quick as possible. So I need VMM. Once I've got VMM in there, if I've got Ops Manager, that's going to give me visibility, and we'll touch on that shortly. I've got Service Manager installed, and I've got Orchestrator, which is going to automate some of those tasks, like creating a VM, creating a cloud. But to connect all of those together and accelerate how I can deliver that IT as a service, I download something called the free Cloud Service Process Pack. And the Cloud Service Process Pack contains the runbooks, and it populates Service Manager with some of the service requests and menu forms that I can choose to offer to my end users. So it gives me the option to update cloud resources, request new virtual machines, update VMs, update services, and so on. So it builds a lot of that initial work for you. So it saves you a bit of time. So if you've got time to use Service Manager, VMM, and some of these other components, download the CSPP and integrate it in. And that will allow you to accelerate deploying this IT as a service environment on-premise. And I touched on Orchestrator. This has got some big advantages over some of the vSphere tools within the environment today. For instance, if we look at Orchestrator down the right-hand side here, in fact, it's probably easier if I go to my environment over here. If I go into my Orchestrator environment, I literally drag and drop my different activities onto the canvas, and I start to connect them together to build runbooks. And these runbooks can be incredibly simple or incredibly complex, but the key advantage of Orchestrator over some of the vSphere orchestration tools is not just the integration with Microsoft stuff, where you'll see all of the System Center components down the right-hand side here. So if I wanted to, for instance, create a new service with VMM, in fact, if I wanted to deploy a service, I could just drag that on. this run book wouldn't work that I'm building here. I'm using it as an example. So I would quickly drag these onto and build these run books with the System Center tools. However, you'll notice I've also got a vSphere integration pack that I can pull in vSphere specific tasks, like cloning a VM or adding a VM disk or a new NIC. There's lots of those different commands built in, which means I don't have to script that. I can just start to build these run books. And vSphere is just one example of an integration pack for a third-party technology. There is integration packs for the likes of CA tools, HP tools, BMC, ServiceNow. There's lots of these integration packs that start to allow you to build automation across different environments. And that's something just that vSphere and the vCenter orchestrator just doesn't have today. It's very focused on the vSphere environment. So something to be aware of if you're thinking about automating some of this stuff. So I can probably do as good a job, if not better, with System Center Orchestrator to automate vSphere than I can with the vSphere tools. So that's something to bear in mind. But it allows me to automate. It integrates with the other System Center tools, like we said. And it orchestrates all of those across hardware, software. Bring in your manual processes, your time-consuming processes, and build automation to deliver that in a more quick way. And it's extensible. So you can start to build and integrate with your systems, even if you don't have an integration pack specifically. There's PowerShell integration, there's script integration, so it can build and use what investments you may already have. So when we start to compare on that particular topic of deploying these applications and services, you'll see that we've got the ability to request private cloud resources. We've logged in as a low-privileged user into App Controller to get access to our VMs and services. We've got those standardized templates, which are very rich and granular, but we've also got the ability to deploy those roles and features at both the OS layer inside the template and the application layer, the SQL, the web deploy, and the virtual applications, so that server app V technology. You've seen we've got that service or multi-tier templates that I demonstrated in the designer. And finally, you can deploy those across clouds that are heterogeneous, and we'll look at that in a bit more detail later on. But you'll see on the vSphere side, in core vSphere and the vCloud suite, it doesn't have some of the granularity around those templates that Microsoft solutions are providing. So you've got a little bit more granularity. And for some of the other components, the templates, the standardized templates, the application and multi-tier templates, you're going to need additional products that are outside of core vSphere. So for instance, the vFabric application director, which is part of the vCloud suite, is how you would deploy those multi-tiered services on vSphere. However, if you want to use that to provision your service templates, your multi-tier templates, that's fine. That's included within the vCloud suite. However, if you want to then update your services that you've deployed through the vFabric application director, you need a separate SKU for that. So the vFabric application director for provisioning is included with the vCloud suite. If you want for release management, for ongoing maintenance of those services, you need a different SKU, where the price starts to jump quite considerably as it's licensed per VM. So just some of the things to be aware of there. So when we start to think about insight, we want to provide that deep level of insight into the infrastructure, because we want to go beyond just looking at those VMs. We want to start to see what's going on inside the environment. And to do that, on a Microsoft environment, we use Ops Manager. An Ops Manager, as many of you will be familiar, is a deep monitoring tool that's going to give us rich visibility and alerting and monitoring of the environment. You'll see in my infrastructure here, I've got a number of things just going wrong, and you'll see, intentionally going wrong, I'll add, for demonstration purposes, you'll see that in my infrastructure here, some critical alerts relating, actually, to what we saw in the previous demo, where I couldn't deploy anything because my cloud was maxed out for that engineering user. So you'll see I've got alerts that reflect that. I can then go to VMM and start to extend that cloud out. But if I start to drill down into some of these other alerts, it's picking up that my disk fragmentation is high. And if I open that alert, one of the nice things about Ops Manager and its advantage over some of the VMware tools is it's not just picking up what's going on, but it's also giving me guidance about what could have caused that particular issue. So why is this happening? What could be the cause, the root cause of that? Things I can try to resolve that problem. In this case, we all know that resolving fragmentation is to defrag the disk. And that's a task that I can actually run from within Ops Manager. So it's giving me that, okay, you don't have to go to the machine and fix that problem. We'll do it all from here. So it's giving us that awareness that something's gone wrong, guidance on what we could do, and then in some cases, not in every case, but in some cases, how you could fix that. And if we look at some of the other views and dashboards that Ops Manager provides us, in 2012 and 2012 SP1, the ability for you to quickly build dashboards that are rich and intuitive and show you information that's very relevant to certain types of users. So here we've got an application dashboard that's monitoring one of our engineering sales apps that's actually running in that engineering cloud we saw in VMM. And we'll see that the response time is all over the place, but it's been constantly available, the performance has been good, the reliability has been good. And we've got a service level agreement that's just starting to load up, that'll take a minute. But what, but what that is is a way of Ops Manager defining the service level expectation for this particular application. So we're able to provide not just visibility into what's going wrong, but also performance and health metrics. Now, one difference between Ops Manager and some of the vSphere tools and what you'll see in vCenter is that Ops Manager isn't a real-time monitoring. So I can't bring up a view of CPU of a VM and see it instantly. It's got to write it to its database, and then it's got to bring that information back out. So there's an element of delay, but it's still going to give me information that's very relevant and quick as it possibly can. As I said, these dashboards, we'll see that what I can see in my engineering application dashboard. These are just some samples that I've built to help me visualize what's going on, not just at the VM level, but also what's going on inside the VM. So you'll see we've got the VMs that are important to engineering user one. We've got some alerts that are filtered specifically for that user. And we've got some information about the apps running in his VMs as well. So we're able to very much customize the experience that different users may see if you want to start to provide visibility to your consumers. And when we start to integrate Ops Manager with some of the other tools, the way Ops Manager gets its knowledge about the infrastructure is it doesn't just go out and monitor everything. You've got to tell it what you want to monitor. And if I want to monitor Exchange or SQL or SharePoint, I need to get the management packs to do that. And that's a very important part, when we compare the Microsoft solution with vSphere. If I want to start to monitor other stuff produced by other companies, it needs to be extensible. It needs to give me adapters that I can start to utilize to give me the visibility. And with the vSphere and vCloud options, it doesn't really give me many of those adapters to monitor core stuff that you're running in your environment, like Oracle or SQL or SharePoint. Whereas on the Microsoft side, all of those management packs are available. There's a load of vendors here at the conference that produce management packs. And in this example, this management pack's given me nice views that help me understand the health of different components of my infrastructure. In this case, if I scroll down, I've got a nice view of my clouds. And the one that's in trouble, well, the two that are in trouble, engineering cloud, and we know why that is, because the capacity is almost full. But I'm representing this information in a slightly more visual and rich way. So it's really allowing me to drill down beyond just the VMs and have a look at the services we deployed. So not just VMs represented by this VM-shaped icon, but these services that I deployed. And this one's in trouble. And the reason this one's in trouble is because the tier is fine, that's healthy. But if we view the Health Explorer, which allows me to drill into the health a little bit more, you'll see actually Ops Manager's notifying me that there's an updated version of this particular service ready to be deployed. Remember I talked about release management earlier on? So we've deployed this service using VMM, but the admins have actually created a new service template that's a newer version, and we've detected that here to say, okay, this one should really be applied, and we can trigger that update through VMM. But it's reflected in our central monitoring tool. But as I said, it's not just about monitoring the virtual infrastructure. It's also about monitoring what's inside the VMs. And we saw some of those examples in my dashboards earlier on. But in 2012 SP1, we've actually gone a little bit further by including something within Ops Manager called Global Service Monitor. And this is unique to Microsoft and highlights just how you can take advantage of Microsoft's infrastructure out there in the cloud in Windows Azure to start to monitor your key applications within your environment. Now, as the virtualization guy, you might not be bothered about what your users are running inside the VMs. You'd probably be bothered, but you're not monitoring it for them. And in this case, if you want to provide that extra level of service to understand what's going on inside, this is how you could provide it. So we can monitor those .NET, those key applications that are running inside, and we can configure through GSM a connection between Ops Manager on your premises and Windows Azure, and in the Microsoft public cloud, and we can start to get visibility into the applications from different points of presence around the world. So if this was a web application you were running and hosting, but people were accessing it from all over the world, GSM would give us visual views of the kind of response, the kind of performance from those different points of presence around the globe hitting that application. And even if it's just a local application that's not published externally, Ops Manager gives us incredible visibility. If I go into the monitoring view and back to the alerts, these are some of the specific application level alerts for my environment. And if I bring one up, you'll see the product knowledge again, a huge amount of product knowledge about what's causing, in this case, client-side performance problems for a .NET application. And if I open this, in fact, if I open it a little bit deeper and go to the diagnostics view that's presented to me here, and I'm going to have to log in. Keyboard has magically come back to life. There we go. So this is a view that I can actually present to the application guys as well, who are running stuff inside my VMs on the private cloud. Once that pops up, what you'll see is I've got deep visibility, not just into the VMs that we saw earlier, but I can start to now see what's going on inside the virtual machines, excuse me, what's going on at the application level, although I'm not sure why that's not loading. Let's try again. Here we go. That's not going to play ball, is it? What I would see, and I'll give it a second to try to load and salvage itself, what I would see is a breakdown of the response time of this particular .NET application. And where, there we go, just enough time. I knew it would come through. Have faith. We can see that the response time threshold that we defined as an application owner was 5 seconds, and yet this app is really struggling from a performance perspective. It's taking over 10 seconds to load. And if we want to see the stack trace to understand what's going on with that application, which as a virtualization guy, this is all, it could say anything. I don't get it. It's not my area of expertise. However, I know people that will. My dev team, my application owners. So I can send this kind of stack information to them literally by closing the alert or closing those windows, closing this window, going back to the alert, and assigning to engineering. So by assigning to engineering, the integration between Opsman and Visual Studio means that this bug or this alert in our world will appear in their TFS, their Team Foundation Server Work Item queue, with all of this relevant information about the challenges they're facing. So that's, again, another example of something that VMware just don't have in their stack. They don't have that integration with a true development tool and development environment, a lab management environment, for instance. So with Ops Manager, not only was it giving us that visibility into apps and services and VMs and just stuff, it's also giving us visibility now into things like the network. So we can see where certain nodes are slow, where they're being overwhelmed with traffic. We can start to see relationships. And this is really important when you're thinking about where virtual machines are residing. If you've got a big environment and you need to understand just where that VM is and how it relates to the network switches, the aggregation switches that are there, then these kind of views can be very useful, not just from a, oh, I can see where it is perspective, but also the health and the relation between hosts and VMs. So we can really start to provide that valuable information that, again, that vSphere infrastructure just doesn't tend to provide. And we can get that detailed knowledge deep inside what's going on inside those switches, for instance, as well. And we've seen the app monitoring power. We're monitoring the infrastructure from both the server side and the client side. But if you're providing a service to your end users, you might want to provide something like a synthetic approach where you can simulate users accessing your applications inside your virtual machines and provide effectively a I knew this was going wrong before you told me type situation. Because the last thing we want to do is get that phone call from the application owner and say, well, everyone's complaining the app is running slow. By using synthetic testing, you can test that application when other users just aren't using it. So you know when it's running slow and when it's running fine. So that's the same tool, the same monitoring tool to monitor across the whole environment. And we touched on IT pros and developers. This is a big advantage of the Microsoft private cloud, to integrate those teams, to give you the visibility to get over the fact that the devs or the user is saying the app's running slow. You as the admin, network's looking good, the code was fine, that's all past testing, servers are up, this is the kind of visibility we can provide. When we start to look a bit deeper, server-side stuff, that's fine, the services are running, client-side, that's where the problem is. So we can start to drill into that very, very quickly. Excuse me. And I touched on GSM. So GSM, Global Service Monitor, connecting Visual Studio and Ops Manager together and piping those web tests up to our 16 points of presence around the globe so that it can test your applications from those different locations. So really providing some significant value for those System Center customers for that visibility into your application performance and health around, from those different points of presence around the world. And if there is an issue, if something's gone wrong, that alert is piped up from GSM right into Ops Manager, and as we saw, by assigning that to engineering, off it goes back to the development team to fix that application. So really accelerating, and then that integration is very, very strong, and it's not something that VMware have the capacity nor the experience to deliver for the private cloud. But speaking of that integration, we've talked about it from a sending alerts, sending them more work effectively. What about if they want to deploy virtual machines into the environment? We gave one option earlier on of using App Controller. For a dev team, logs in, sees their cloud, they deploy VMs from templates. But what if you want to let them integrate with their tools? So you've got VMM on your side, managing your hosts, and they've got TFS and their test and lab manager tools on their local desktop or workstation. And through the rich intuitive wizards within that test and lab management environment, they can connect their tools to your VMM, and you expose the appropriate templates, the relevant environments, and they can start deploying and testing their particular VMs, deploying new VMs and so on, straight from their own tools. So you don't have to give them full access to VMM directly. They're accessing it through their regular test and lab management tools. So they're triggering snapshots across multiple builds. They're piping that information back into TFS so that the dev teams can work on things together. So it's all of a build and run testing environment versus just a regular virtual machine consumption environment. So you can see the kind of VMs that are part of projects. So it's all in that development speak. It's been built with the devs in mind. So if you have got a dev team that you think could benefit, and they're more than likely going to have access to MSDN subscriptions, then they're going to have this capability. So VMM on your side and the test and lab management tools on their side. But it gives them that rich environment that's related to the kind of work they're doing for their specific environments. And finally, some of the final bits of visibility. We all want to ensure that when we deploy services, we deploy VMs, we deploy operating systems, that they're configured correctly. But we can never account for everything. However, with System Center Advisor, which is a free service, you don't need Ops Manager to run this, but it will integrate with Ops Manager if you are. System Center Advisor will look at the configuration of your stuff, your operating systems, Windows Server, your SQL servers, your SharePoint, your Link, your Exchange, your Hyper-V. It will look at the configuration, whether it's in a VM or whether it's a physical machine. So even if you're running on VMware, you could have this running in your VMs and detect whether you've optimized the configuration. So in this case, you'll see that some of the alerts reflect there's a SQL Server database present without a clean consistency check, or without a backup, or there's a mail configuration issue, or performance may degrade when running on a certain OS without this particular patch. So it's things you may miss just naturally because you're busy, but it's catching those configurations, those best practices, and that's been built up from thousands of hours of integration between Microsoft customer support and Microsoft customers and partners. So where the learnings have been built up, they've been fed into the database of Advisor. So you're always going to benefit from optimized configuration guidance if you want to take advantage, but it is free. And when we start to compare with vSphere or with the vCenter environment, we'll see that when we think about monitoring, Ops Manager provides that deep visibility across virtualized and non-virtualized. We think about the deep insight and remediation. It's got all of those kind of things. And the outside in from GSM into applications running in your private cloud. And it's integrated with the dev tools. Now, VMware did have, if we look at number three, the note, VMware did have a great product for developers called Lab Manager. And it's recently been extended in terms of support, but you can no longer buy it. And the encouraging sign from VMware to say, yep, you should go to vCloud Director as the chosen tool for your devs. But it's kind of like a square peg in a round hole. It's not necessarily, it's certainly not integrated with any of their dev tools they may be using. like we briefly saw with Visual Studio. So it's a consideration you'd have to make around what is going to be the best solution for my dev team in this example to connect in with my self-service experience I want to provide. And when we think about some of the insight and remediation, VMware's management tools, like the vCenter operations, they provide some very, very cool dashboards, visibility into what's going on in the environment. But it's still very VM-centric. So I get a lot of rich data about my VMs, the memory usage, the CPU usage, and so on, and where there's efficiency and wastage, but it doesn't tell me really a huge amount about my Exchange servers, or my SQL servers, or SharePoint, and so on. And it doesn't have some of the extensibility like you have within an Ops Manager. And once I know there's a problem, it doesn't necessarily give me any guidance on how to remediate. So it'll tell me there's an issue there, but it won't give me all of the guidance about what probably caused that and what I could do to fix that. So that's where Ops Manager really starts to provide extra levels of value. Now, when we think about protection, we think about, from a Microsoft side, DPM. Protecting key workloads like SQL, SharePoint, Exchange, Hyper-V VMs, Windows servers, physical or virtualized. Excuse me. It integrates with Ops Manager, so providing that centralized alerting and control. And it integrates for both disk, backup to disk, and backup to tape, if anyone's still using that approach. Alternatively, what's new in SP1 is the integration with Windows Azure Backup, which is a cloud service that uses Azure storage, so you pay for your usage of the storage, a minimal amount per gigabyte, and that's going to allow you to DPM backup to disk and then throw that up to Azure for long-term storage if you wanted to do that. So it's integrated with a cloud-based backup service. The VMware backup solution, vSphere Data Protection, doesn't offer any of that. So if you do want to take advantage of that infinite capacity that's in Azure and pay as you go for your long-term storage, then you've got a solution with DPM. But it also allows you to back up to a second site. So DPM to DPM for DR. So you've got a DPM on one site, you've got a DPM on your second site, and they're protecting one another. That's another option for a low-cost DR, but it would be quite an extensive restoration on the second site. I'd prefer to use something like Hyper-V Replica to handle that replication between sites, and then Hyper-V Recovery Manager in Azure to do the failover, rather than use the DPM solution. But that's just me. And when we think about VMs, it fully integrates with Hyper-V, protecting those key VMs. There was a huge performance improvement in 2012 SP1, protecting lots of your Hyper-V VMs. So big scalability improvements as well, up to 800 VMs per DPM server. And it now supports excluding things like page files, which is great because that's just a wasted amount of space to back up. Now that's included with DPM, a little bit more granularity. And if I back up VMs, if I just want to restore an individual item out of that VM, that's part of DPM now as well, and it's been in there a while. And because I'm running a dynamic infrastructure, I'm flying VMs all over the cloud, moving them from host to host dynamically, automatically, DPM's got to be aware of that. It's got to be aware of where the VM is if it's trying to back it up and suddenly it's disappeared. It is aware of that. It's fully aware through its integration with VMM. And as we said, I can back up to the cloud, which is becoming more and more powerful as an option for organizations who want to move away from things like tape and move to an infrastructure that has got that infinite capacity and I can take advantage of that at a low cost. So when we start to compare with vSphere and what's in the vCloud suite, their backup is actually coming on quite aggressively in the sense that initially when it was first released in 5.1 as vSphere Data Protection, which was the newest version, it really just protected VMs. It used that EMC Avamar technology. It's got inline deduplication, which DPM doesn't have. So there's that enhanced way of actually protecting and optimally and efficiently protecting the workloads. And now, if you buy the advanced edition, so that's not part of the vCloud suite, you would have to buy that separately. But if you did, it would include protection of SQL and Exchange as well. So they're really ramping up on the workload protection as well as this becomes more and more important. But it won't do anything for your servers that aren't virtualized. That's where DPM provides that additional value, protecting both physical and virtual. Plugging into third parties, being granular in terms of role-based, and still offering that tape backup if need be. Now, with the disaster recovery, you could use DPM, you could use Replica, you've got choices. On the VMware side, you would use SRM to failover between those two sites, because that's a pretty powerful solution. Excuse me. So when we think about these environments, we've touched on this already. In a heterogeneous environment, what's important? We've got to centralize a lot of the management into as few consoles as possible. Otherwise, it gets very difficult to manage. And if you want to manage a mixed environment, let's say, for instance, you've got multiple hypervisors. And if that's the case, we may want to manage them from a single console. Now, with a VMware environment, that's a little bit more tricky, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But with Hyper-V in my fabric view, and with VMM, I can quickly add VMware vCenter servers. So I specify the name. Oh, my keyboard's not working. That's great. So I put the vCenter server name in there. I click OK. It would bring vCenter in. And then, once I've done that, I would go to my all hosts, add resources, VMware ESX hosts and clusters. I need a vCenter first, but that would open up a wizard that would basically look at my vCenter and say, OK, I know you're managing this vCenter, so VMM communicates with vCenter. This is all of the ESX and ESXi hosts that vCenter can see. Which ones do you want to bring in? And you choose. So you don't have to bring them all in. You could just choose a subset. Bring them in, and VMM will see them now in the same view, in the same list it sees the Hyper-V servers as well. And once I've done that and finished that process, I can now manage the day-to-day operation of the vSphere VMs. It's not going to create fault-tolerant VMs. It's not going to create distributed switches. They're not day-to-day activities. It's about creating VMs. It's about deploying new VMs. It's about deploying and managing those VMs on a day-to-day basis. But one of the key questions I got asked in the TechEd North America session, can I use those services and those templates for my vSphere hosts? Absolutely. So I gain the benefit of having a single VMDK for multiple templates, which saves me some storage space. And I have all of that granular service template approach with the applications, with the SQL configuration. But now I'm deploying to a VMware environment instead of Hyper-V. So there's dual benefit there, aside from just bringing it into a central view. But that's just one example of some of the heterogeneous management that Microsoft's bringing in. And we've all got heterogeneous environments. We use different vendors for storage, networking, servers. We have different hypervisors, potentially. We run Windows. We run Linux. We have different management tools from HP, from BMC, from CA, from Microsoft, from lots of different vendors over the years that we've built up. And we run different app stacks. We run Java. We run PHP. We run .NET. Lots of how do we manage all of that centrally? Because we've got a lot of things to consider. And that's where Microsoft provides a lot of value with System Center. We saw briefly VMM trying to, at least, manage the VMware environment, if my keyboard hadn't ceased to work. We saw it trying to manage the VMware environment. But it will also manage the Zen server infrastructure as well. Operations Manager provides monitoring for all of these different vendor products through the Management Pack framework. So if you've got NetApp storage, bring in the on-command pack that allow you to monitor the NetApp storage. If you've got HP servers, bring in Insight Control for System Center and monitor the HP servers. If you've got Dell, bring in the Dell Management Pack, and so on and so forth. When we elevate up to the OS level, Hyper-V, as we saw in the Hyper-V session yesterday, will run Linux just great. It wouldn't support and run as many distributions as VMware claimed to support. Lots of different distributions on that list, but it provides support for the key ones, and the Hyper-V drivers are in the kernel now within Linux. So when you deploy one of those newer distributions onto Hyper-V, whether it's a free one or a commercial distribution, it's optimized by default and ready to run at great performance. And we touched on Orchestrator earlier, plugging into some of these third-party management tools to help connect them together so you can automate across mixed environments. So bringing in CA tools or Remedy or some of the IBM management tools and helping you automate across all of those. And from a monitoring perspective, we start to get visibility into not only what's going on in these apps, but as Windows Server, it runs these applications just great. Java on Windows Server, PHP, Ruby. And as you saw with the Oracle announcement yesterday, that's now going to run and be supported fully in Azure and supported by Oracle on-prem on Hyper-V, which is great. And when we compare that to VMware and specifically focusing on the hypervisor management initially, Microsoft's offering a considerable amount of capability in VMM to manage those hypervisors. VMware's taken a slightly different approach. Number one, it released a free tool for vSphere customers called the Multi-Hypervisor Manager. I don't know if you've seen it, I don't know if you've used it. Very basic. Bring in your Hyper-V host. You've got no awareness of clusters, live migration capabilities, all of those things you get with Hyper-V. It's very much, I'm going to bring in the Hyper-V host, and I can see what's going on. I can see the VMs, and I can do some very basic configuration. Nowhere near as capable as what VMM offers for vSphere going the other way. But there is another solution, because vCloud Automation Center, that new product, that kind of request capability for clouds, that also will manage Hyper-V. So you can start to bring it in that environment. But it's very much for provisioning new VMs, and it's another interface that you'd have to go to specific to that. It's completely outside of vCenter, which is a different approach from Microsoft. We touched on some of the automation. vCenter Orchestrator doesn't have that many packs to start to automate across other components within your infrastructure. It's still pretty vSphere focused. So that doesn't give you the scope to automate across different tools. So that's why customers look elsewhere at maybe System Center Orchestrator or maybe some of the Cisco or HP automation tools that exist out there. And when we think about the monitoring, ops managers that got that extensible management pack framework to monitor deep inside apps and fabric, whether they're Microsoft or whether they're third party, through the management pack framework. Whereas with VMware, whilst you can monitor the complete infrastructure, if you want to start to monitor some of the hardware layers or some of the rest of the infrastructure that isn't vSphere, you're going to need the adapters, and there are only a couple of them available today, unlike the management pack framework, which there is a huge number. So when we think about hybrid, just a brief kind of chat about just what these approaches are. When we think about the Microsoft approach to hybrid, what does it mean for you? Well, it would mean running the private cloud on-premise in your data center, in your infrastructure. But don't forget that that Microsoft private cloud, it could have vSphere hosts in there, it could have Zen server hosts in there, and Hyper-V. It doesn't have to be exclusively Microsoft. Remember, System Center managing all of the different components, Microsoft or otherwise. And on a service provider's site or on one of your other data centers, you've got an additional private cloud running the same kind of configuration. And they're connected through System Center. We saw how App Controller provides visibility across the clouds, System Center providing that monitoring visibility across clouds, VMM managing across clouds. But then when we think about public cloud services, how can I take advantage of that capacity in others' data centers, like a service provider or a public cloud? And that's where Azure comes in and service providers. But the key thing is here is System Center again. So through App Controller, I had visibility of what was provided to me through Azure. And although I didn't call it out, if I go to my App Controller screen and just close that down, you'll see if I go back to my overview and logged in as this less privileged user, I've got access to my VMM cloud on-premise. I've got access to an Azure subscription in the Microsoft data centers. And I could add access to a service provider's cloud. So if you're a service provider and you're thinking, how could I get my infrastructure visible to that user, you would connect it through System Center and they would see it right there. So they would see the clouds that you've made available to them in the same way they can see them what's available on-premise. So again, centralizing that view, centralizing that approach to accessing those different clouds across those different locations. And that's all common with identity. So when users are logging in, it's Active Directory is the foundation. The management is System Center, the virtualization is Hyper-V, but it could include others, and the dev tools are integrated, as we saw, with System Center. So there's all that commonality running throughout. And VMware's approach is just slightly different. The vCloud on your infrastructure, on your data center, would purely be vSphere. There'd be nothing else. Not a problem, that's just how it is. It wouldn't be heterogeneous. And you connect that to another vCloud in another data center of yours, or a service provider, for instance, using the vCloud connector. So a separate interface to manage and control that. But then if you want to take advantage of VMware's own cloud service that's pretty new, it's still kind of getting over those teething initial release problems, but it's there, or service providers, vCloud providers, then you would connect that as well with vCloud connector. Alternatively, if you want to manage stuff on Amazon or Hyper-V or Zen, then vCloud Automation Center would allow you to do that, which is another interface to go to. So it's slightly different, but there are lots of choices about how you connect to these different clouds in these different locations. But now, to wrap up with the last couple of minutes, how much does this stuff all cost? How can I license it? How much do I have to open my wallet to pay for some of this stuff? And I wanted to give you a tangible example of something that you could relate to. I'm going to use retail pricing, So that's publicly available pricing on the Microsoft and the VMware websites. Everybody will get different pricing in this room for both Microsoft and VMware. So you'll have to plug in your numbers if you want to compare it more specifically to your environment. But the configuration I chose was a 15 VMs to one host configuration. Maybe it's loads more than what you run. Maybe it's loads less. But in this case, I just chose a standard 15 to 1 on 34 hosts, because 500 VMs at 15 VMs to one host equals 34 hosts. And those hosts are standard two sockets. The cores is largely irrelevant. Doesn't really matter. I chose 16 cores, but that was the highest I could choose based on what was shipping. I've excluded Windows Server licensing. So if you were deploying a vSphere or a vCloud or a Microsoft Cloud, you're going to need to license Windows servers if you're running Windows Server in that environment. The hypervisor is outside of that. I can download the free Microsoft hypervisor. My vSphere licenses include the ESXi. My guest OSs, we'll call them the same on either side. You license them separately in this example. Otherwise, you can just add them on. If you did want to add them on, you would add on 34 licenses of Windows Server Data Center. And to deploy the cloud, we really need comprehensive management, visibility, deployment capability. So that's what we're looking for ultimately on either side. So on the Microsoft side, Hyper-V Server is free. Download it off the web, Hyper-V Server 2012, and going forward, 2012 R2 is now available in preview. It will cost me nothing. I can deploy it through VMM, I can deploy it through my regular deployment tools, or from a DVD. I add on System Center, and I need 34 licenses to cover the 64 sockets in my servers, in my 34 hosts. That should say 68, actually. 34 licenses, 68 procs. That comes in at $122,000 based on the pricing that's available on Microsoft.com. That's open no level. So that's effectively retail pricing. So the total cost is $122,000. And we've seen a snippet of just some of the capabilities it can provide. The VM management, the self-service, the backup, the application monitoring and insight. Now, if we start to look at what vSphere provides, 68 procs of that vCloud suite based on retail pricing is a little bit more expensive. And at this point, that doesn't include SNS. This is just off the website, 68 CPUs, please, submit, and that's what I got printed out. Okay, so $780,000. I need a vCenter, at least one. I'll probably need more than one, but we'll say just one for now. So that's a little bit more. So the total is nearly six times more than the Microsoft solution. That's without SNS. So that's a 21 or 25% additional fee. Now, you may have licenses already, so the comparison will have to be varied for your environment. You may not pay retail price on either platform. You may have large agreements with VMware and Microsoft, in which case these figures will be completely inaccurate for you. But please, if you want to compare, feel free to plug in the numbers. But some of the areas where vSphere or the vCloud doesn't quite provide as much as what Hyper-V and the System Center Suite provide, things like their workload protection to some of the extra workloads like SharePoint, for instance, DevOps capability we saw, the integration with third parties, the service management, the service deployment, those multi-tier applications, and some of the in-guest monitoring, the application level stuff that we saw in Ops Manager. There's significant capability in that Microsoft stack at a significantly reduced cost. So, to wrap up in the last minute, hopefully that's just given you a little bit of a view of just what the Microsoft Private Cloud can deliver, some of the advantages it's got over the vSphere infrastructure and the vCloud suite, the costing advantages. And hopefully, if you go away, all of this is publicly available so you can make your decisions if you're changing or you're thinking about where you go next with your virtualization journey. Hopefully, this has just given you a little bit of insight. If you're thinking about migrating from VMware, there is a session at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Migrating from VMware Tools and Tips, where I'll be presenting with one of the other chaps that I present the migration session with. And he'll show you some of the tools that you can use to actually move your workloads from VMware to Microsoft, if that's something you want to do. If not, no worries. I won't see you there. But it's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the day.